So sometimes we've been talking about fear for the last few weeks. So we have been talking about fear for the last few weeks, not sometimes, but we have been talking about that for the last few weeks. And sometimes being fearful can look like taking a long time to gather a lot of information. And here's what I mean. We can get rid of a lot of risk in our lives through information gathering. And I don't know if all of you are like this or if it's just me and there's some of you that can identify with this. But I can research restaurants, movies, anything that has a little bit of risk, right? If you're going to pay to go out to eat at a restaurant and you got to leave the tip and all that kind of stuff, I like to get rid of the uncertainty as much as possible. How many of you like will look up the restaurant's menu before you go to the restaurant online? Some of you? Okay. So you can do this, right? You can read Yelp reviews. You're going to a new restaurant, and you're like, I've heard about this place. It sounds good. And so you reduce the risk a little bit more. And then you're like, I'm going to look up on Yelp and read some Yelp reviews. And then you go on there and you go, oh, it's got really good reviews. And then you look, oh, someone took a picture of the menu and they posted it on Yelp as well. And so now you can see the menu. You can even pick what you want to eat before you show up. So I will do this sometimes just to get rid of these little risks in my life. I'll do research. I will look up. I don't know when the last time it was I saw a movie without looking at the Rotten Tomato score, to be honest. Like, I'm all about that because life is short and I don't want to waste it watching horrible movies. So I will try to look up, you know, the Rotten Tomatoes score. You know, they have the scoring system where they take all the different reviews and they give it, like, you know, percentage grades. And I rarely watch a movie, even renting or at the theater, without checking out the score to see kind of what people generally think about it. Usually, if the scores are really bad, I'm not going to like the movie either. And so I kind of trust that the score is going to somewhat reflect my enjoyment of the movie. So there's these things that we do in life where we can reduce the risk a little bit by gathering information. But sometimes that's my number one way. I've admitted publicly my number one thing about procrastination, right, is that information gathering, something that I don't want to do where there's a little bit of risk or something that I'm concerned about or nervous about, I can just continue gathering information over and over and over again. Oh, I need more info. I need more info before I do this thing. And that is what procrastination looks like for me sometimes. And sometimes that's what fear looks like, is just I need all the details. I need all the information before I take this step or before I do whatever this thing is. But the problem is some of the most important things in our life do not come with Yelp reviews or Rotten Tomato scores. Things like getting married, right? I'm going to look up, let me look up marriage on Yelp and see how see what the scores are. It's not on there. Right? Like, what's the having children, deciding to have kids? Let me see the Rotten Tomato score on having children. No, it's not on there either, right? Some of the most important things in our life don't come with information like that. You can get information about what was this like for you or whatever, but some of these things we have to step out and we have to do them without having all of the information and some of the most important things. And following Christ is often like that as well. There are times where we cannot gather enough information before we can fully, you know, take the step and feel totally comfortable making the step. And in fact, that's a fundamental important part of the Christian life, is faith, right? Without faith, it is impossible to please God, Scripture tells us. We've been going through this series where we've been talking about fear versus faith, and each week we've looked at an Old Testament story where we've seen people that had to do something that they were fearful of, some challenge they were facing, some fear that potentially could have held them back. But we see God stepping in, God bringing them along, and these people stepping out in faith and taking courageous action, and then their stories are recorded for us in the Old Testament. And so each week we've looked at a different character. We started with Moses, we talked about Esther, Gideon, and then last week was Caleb. And for some of you who are like Bible scholars, it might bother you as it bothers me that we're taking these Old Testament stories out of order, but it's going to keep happening. And so today we're going back to Abraham. We're going to travel back in time, hop in the DeLorean, and go back to the earlier part of the Old Testament, and we're going to be in Genesis and in Hebrews chapter 11. So we'll start it actually in Hebrews chapter 11 and look at the New Testament's kind of review of Abraham's life. We're going to learn about what faith is. What difference, we're going to kind of develop a definition of what faith is, and then we're going to have 3 points that are together going to be in like one sentence. By the time we're done, we'll have one sentence that will make kind of 3 points, and you'll see what I mean in a few minutes here, that will teach us what we need to understand about faith and how faith can help us with the challenges and the discouragements, the things that cause us fear in our lives. So we're going to start in Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to talk about Abraham, and I love the story of Abraham for many reasons, but one of the things that we need to understand when you read the Old Testament account of Abraham is that this is our spiritual heritage in a very real way. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29 says, "If you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise." So in other words, you know, there's many faiths that trace their heritage back to Abraham, but the Christian faith does as well. And if we are in Christ, if we have a relationship with Jesus, if we are Christians, we are like the offspring. We are like Abraham is our spiritual father in many ways. So in other words, Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham, and I'm one of them, and so are you, right? The faces you are making right now at me are really, yeah, I know. Right arm. How many of you guys know that song? Some of you are just, okay, thank you. There's more of you than I thought based on your response. So I was like, this is not going well. I was about to close my Bible and walk off the stage. Abraham is like our spiritual father as well. And so we take our spiritual heritage, and the faith kind of traces its way back to Abraham. And there's so many things about Abraham's life that are instructive for us, but Abraham has a great deal to teach us about faith. And we're going to see that in Hebrews chapter 11. So we're going to pause several times as we read through the first 19 verses of Hebrews 11. And then part of those times, we'll go back to Genesis and we'll read a little bit of the account of Abraham's life and then take three important lessons for us about faith from the life of Abraham. So Hebrews 11, starting at verse 1. "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." So let's stop there for a moment. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And he says, by it the people of old, and then he gives some examples of those people of old, Abel and Enoch, and then he'll go on to give an example of Abraham's life. But these people had some conviction about something they couldn't fully see, and they had a hope about something that God had promised, or something about God that gave them assurance. Faith is described as this assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. It's not a blind leap in the dark. It's based on some revelation from God, God revealing information about himself or something about him. And then faith is our response to that. It is putting our hopes on him. J. Oswald Sanders says, "Faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as present and the invisible as seen." That quote kind of takes that same idea, the future as a present thing, something that is hoped for, treating it as it is currently here. I'm currently experiencing this. Or currently, it's real enough to me that it's like I'm currently experiencing it in the present. And there's something that I can't quite see yet, but I trust that it will be true and that it will be so. And what it does is it gives us a commendation. It gives us this way of understanding who God is, and it pleases God. And there's reward there for our faith. So now Abraham will be introduced in the next few verses. We're going to read the next three verses, 8 through 10, and we'll see how faith played out in Abraham's life. We're going to be given three examples from the life of Abraham as we read. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. He was called to be a stranger. He was called to be an exile. He was called to leave everything he knew. And we're actually going to see that call in Genesis chapter 12 here. We're going to see the words that are recorded for us in Scripture where Abraham was called to leave everything he knew. Scripture tells us that Abraham came from a pagan land. He came from this place that worshiped idols, that didn't know the true God. And he was taken from this place, and God spoke to this man, Abraham, and his family and said, I want you to go out of this place. And we're going to see the way that's described in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. So let me get there in my Bible, and we'll read it together. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. This is the call of Abram, whose name is later changed to Abraham, and he is called by God to, again, to leave everything he knew, to leave the land that he knew, and he was going to go to a new place, this land that God had promised to give him, and God was going to make a new people from him. God was going to take this one family and make a nation, and he said that I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing, that Abram was to be blessed by God in order to bless other people. We see this ultimately in Jesus. This is the greatest fulfillment of this, where from Abram's family comes Christ Jesus, who will bless the nations, who will offer salvation to them. He's offered to be a great nation, a great name. He's given God's protection, and he's told that God's purpose is that he would bless other people. In the call of Abram and Abraham, where he's sent out and set out to be a stranger and an exile, to not have a home, essentially. He lived as a nomad for these many years. We see really a great display of faith where Abram doesn't have all the questions answered. What's this going to look like when I get to this place? How will I know when I'm there? But he goes and sets out and follows God because he is called. He's called to go out and do that. And that's the first point of our message today. It takes faith to follow God's call. It takes faith to follow God's call. You know, when you're talking to somebody and maybe you're talking about their job or talking about something that's important to them in their life, and they say, like, you ask somebody, hey, what, tell me how, a lot of people will ask me, I'll start there. A lot of people will ask me, how did you become a pastor? And I will talk about, God got a hold of my life and called me into this. That's my answer to that question is that I felt like God was calling me to do this. And you know that when you're talking with somebody and they say, well, yeah, here's what I love about my job. I love, you know, I get paid really well. I love the people I work with. But then they say, I feel called to do what I'm doing. That takes on like a new level of seriousness, doesn't it? It takes on like a new level of, wow, you have a sense of calling upon you. And when I think about you this morning, I was thinking about preparing the sermon, I don't know what sense you have of this idea of being called. If you're a Christian this morning, you have the call of Jesus upon you, the call that said, follow me, the same way that Jesus called his disciples, said, I want you to follow me. I want you to pattern your life after me and follow me. I want to be the leader of your life. I think every Christian has that fundamental call upon their life where God has called them into his service, and into a relationship with him, and into a life of discipleship. Follow him. But it takes faith to do that. It takes faith to follow the call of God upon your life. But what happens is there's incredible blessing from doing that. We see that from the life of Abraham, that God blessed him in amazing ways because he followed the call. And that blessing was great for Abraham, but it was also meant for other people. It wasn't supposed to stop just with Abraham. It would also bless the people that he came in contact with and bless the nations that would come from the nation that would come from him and the nations around them. And I think too often when we live a life where we are trapped in fear, where we are in self-protection mode all the time, and we're so concerned about risks that we stay in kind of a comfort bubble, you know? We try to keep ourselves secure and safe because of the risks around us. And I don't know what you think of when I talk about that. I've been kind of open in just my own sharing about my fears and the things that I've been facing, and as far as the idea of, you know, low-level fear creeping in on so many different areas of my life. But you might have something that just God has brought to your mind over the course of this series that you've been wrestling with. Fears too often shrink our lives. We huddle up. We close ourselves off to things God might be calling us to do, or to things that we know that, yeah, God wants us to do. Obeying him or stepping out and loving people. And the scripture we've been going back to over and over again during the course of the series is our theme verse. God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And each of these things, these power, love, self-control, I think it's this idea of expansion, this idea of moving beyond where we are and staying in this shrunken place where fear wants to keep us. And Abraham had to leave where he was comfortable and go and follow the call of God, and it resulted in blessing, and it resulted in him being a blessing to other people. Let's continue reading. We're going to read the next two verses, verse 11 and 12 of Hebrews 11. It says this: by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. We read about this in Genesis 15, where we're told that Abraham was fearful. And we know that because God comes to Abraham and says, "Don't be afraid." And it's one of these many verses in the Bible where we're told, or someone in the Bible is told, not to be afraid of something. And Genesis 15, verses 1 through 6, we'll read this conversation that Abram had with God. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. "Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." But Abram said, "O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir." Behold, the word of the Lord came to him, "This man shall not be your heir, your very own son shall be your heir." And he brought him outside and said, "Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. This is such a cool story in the Bible, and a few years ago, we did a series where we walked through all of these Old Testament patriarch stories and walked through the book of Genesis. I think it was 2015, where we were talking about these and had sermons on each of these passages. But I love this story here in the Bible where Abram is fearful. Abraham's experiencing fear. And the verses right before it, he had just come back from a battle where he had been victorious in this battle, but he had given up the spoils of war and said, "I'm not going to take anything. I don't want this person to say, 'You're the one who made me wealthy. I'm going to trust in God.'" And he's fearful. And we don't know if he's fearful because he's worried about retribution, like someone's going to pay him back for this victory that he had won, or is this the childless thing? He wants to be a father and feels like God has promised, but he's unsure of how God's going to fulfill the promise. And God's answer to Abram is, "Fear not, Abram. I am your shield." And when I was thinking about this verse, I love those words, right? "Fear not, Abram. I am your shield." And I wonder for you this morning, where do you need to hear God speak that into your heart? "Fear not, I am your shield." And then God gives him the night sky as a visual. Like, walk out of your tent, Abram. and look at the stars in the sky. When I think about the way people in the Old Testament used to, or in the New Testament even, used to look into the night sky, they saw a lot more stars than we did. Because we have light pollution and we have, you know, the big cities that kind of, all the street lights and street lamps and everything. You have to get pretty far out of the city before you can see the same kind of night sky that they saw in the ancient times. He says, look up into the stars. Let me illustrate for you. And when you see the stars, I want it to bring comfort to you that I promise that I will fulfill my promise to you, which is to multiply your offspring, to make a nation out of you, that you might be a blessing to other people, right back to this original call that Abram and Abraham had on his life. And then it says, did you notice what Abram's response was to that? It was in verse 6. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. That God made Abram's right, he was righteous because of his faith. He trusted in God. He responded to what God had revealed. And it was counted to him as righteousness. It wasn't that, oh, Abram, you've done such a great job. You've fulfilled, you've checked all the boxes. Abram was actually kind of a mess if you read his story. Abraham was lying all the time. He was someone that really did hold on to some convictions, which is our next point. It takes faith to follow God's call and hold on to your convictions. He held on to this promise. God was going to protect him. God was going to bless his family so that they could bless other people. And he held on to this conviction. And there were a lot of things that he did not do well. There was areas where he did not trust God. But there was this idea of God has called me, and I'm going to follow, and I'm going to hold on to these promises that God has given me. Hebrews 11, 13 through 19, we'll kind of wrap up the story from Hebrews 11. It says this, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they'd gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. And then the biggest challenge that you could imagine is these next four verses. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac... we'll stop there in verse 19. This is a sobering story from the Bible. This is in Genesis chapter 22, where Abram is tested by God, we're told. And Isaac, this promised child, is finally born, and Abraham and Sarah are so grateful. This promise has been fulfilled. God promised that he would provide for them. He would give them a child, and he did it. Now Isaac is growing up, and then God calls him to do the unthinkable one day. Genesis 22 describes the conversation that God has with Abraham, and he says, I want you to take your son, your only son, the one whom you love, and offer him up as a sacrifice to me. And Abraham, it takes several days of Abraham pondering this and trying to figure out how God's going to fulfill his promise in spite of what he's asking him to do. And he has these conflicting ideas in his mind as he's walking to Mount Moriah as they're headed towards the place where the sacrifice will be made, the mountain that will one day become the temple. And he knows that God has great plans for his family, that God has promised something, but then God is presenting me with these circumstances that I don't know what to do with. And Isaac is included in these plans. Like, God was very explicit about that, but then God also said, I want you to sacrifice Isaac. This brings us to our final point where we complete the sentence, our three points together. It takes faith to follow God's call and hold on to your convictions, in spite of the circumstances. We see this kind of faith in the way that Abram describes, you know, if you read Genesis 22 and you follow this whole story all the way through, Abraham saying things like, we're going to worship and then we will come back. And then Isaac's looking as they're walking up to the mountain and saying like, where's the lamb that we're going to sacrifice, Dad? And I can't even imagine what he would have been going through in that moment, but Abraham says, well, God will provide a lamb. And he's making these faith statements that God is somehow going to provide. God is somehow going to meet this challenge. And Hebrews 11 gives us this insight that he believed that if he was going to sacrifice Isaac, God would resurrect him, that God would raise him up. If God was going to allow him to carry out this horrible, unimaginable action that God was calling him to do, which let me just pause for a second and say, in that culture, child sacrifice was not unusual. In that culture, this was a horrible thing, but it was something that was common in that culture. And for Abraham to think that somehow a deity, a God, would call him to do that was not something that maybe he didn't understand that why his God would do that, but cultures did that. And the reason why we think it's horrible today is because the Christian worldview has so influenced our ethics and our morals that we realize, like, this is not something that any culture should do. And I want to also say that God will never ask you to do that. God won't ask you to do what Abraham did. This was something that during this time in redemptive history, where God was displaying and revealing himself to who Abraham was, and we see this incredible display that as Abraham raises the knife, builds this altar, binds Isaac upon the altar, and is about to carry out the unthinkable, God says, no, you will not do this. Scripture tells us there's a ram whose horns are caught in a thicket, and he takes this ram and offers it as a sacrifice. And that God shows that Abraham trusts him fully, and we see this on display for us in Hebrews chapter 11. We see God's way of providing in this case was through a substitute, right? That this incredible display, this incredible image of what Jesus would one day be for us, that Jesus would be the ram. Or he wouldn't be the ram. He would be the son upon the altar, and his father would actually carry that out for us. And that blessing would bless all those who would come to follow him. So many times when God requires something of us that is difficult, God himself will provide what he requires. When we're in a situation where we are just facing fearful situations, unsure how we're going to be dealing with something, how am I going to get through this? God himself is the one who wants to provide what he requires from us in those moments. And we need to seek him and face him. Sometimes our circumstances are so hard to see through and to figure out. When we're in the middle of something, it's so difficult. And it's hard to see the big picture in these moments. You know, Abraham, we benefit from Abraham's life being able to see that, man, Abraham was faithful. Abraham finished his race. He followed God, and he was following God's call. He was holding on to his convictions, even in spite of the difficult circumstances that he found himself in. And when I think about this idea, I think about the idea of a tapestry. And I want to show you a picture on the screen of a tapestry. So these pictures are two different perspectives on the same picture. So this is the front of the tapestry, and that's the back of the tapestry. And so many times in our life, when we're in the middle of something, we're facing a difficult situation, all we see is just like a pile of yarn. It's like, what is this, right? This is what our life looks like so often. We're in the middle of the day-to-day, and we do not have a sense of the perspective. We can't, what is God doing? How is God going to work all this out in my life? What are God's plans for me? How do I trust God in these different challenges, these different moments? And we feel like we're just in the, like, what is God doing? But we need to trust that God is actually working on, he's painting a picture. He is putting the tapestry together. He is weaving something amazing. And that's what faith is. We're following God's call. We're holding on to our convictions in spite of the circumstances. And we're trusting. We're greeting something that we can't quite see, but we trust that it's there. It's the evidence of things hoped for. It's something that we are believing in spite of not having the full picture. in our lives, we live our day-to-day on the back of the tapestry, but we need to trust that God is putting an incredible picture together. He is weaving the tapestry together, and we trust that he is good and that he has a good plan for us. Warren Wiersbe passed away last month. Warren Wiersbe was a great preacher, teacher, writer, wrote many commentaries on the Bible, and he said this about Abraham's story. I think it's a nice way of kind of capturing what we've been talking about. And the idea of trusting that God is weaving a beautiful picture together on the front of the tapestry, even though we live our day-to-day on the back of it, that we need to trust God, and that requires us to have patience sometimes. And this is what Warren Wiersbe said about this passage. Waiting is, for me, one of the most difficult disciplines of life. Yet true faith is able to wait for the fulfillment of God's purposes in God's time. But while we are waiting, we must also be obeying. By faith, Abraham obeyed. He obeyed when he did not know where he was going. He lived in tents because he was a stranger and pilgrim in the world and had to be ready to move whenever God spoke. And Christians today are also strangers and pilgrims. Abraham had his eye on the heavenly city and he lived in future tense. Not T-E-N-T, but T-E-N-S-E, future tense, right? He also obeyed when he did not know how God's will would be accomplished. Both Abraham and Sarah were too old to have children, yet they both believed that God would do the miracle. Unbelief asks, how can this be? And faith asks, how shall this be? Or how will this be? Abraham believed and obeyed God when he did not know when God would fulfill his promises. None of the patriarchs saw the complete fulfillment of God's promises, but they saw from afar off what God was doing. Dr. George Morrison, a great Scottish preacher, once said, "The important thing is not what we live in, but what we look for." These men and women of faith lived in tents, but they knew a heavenly city awaited them. God always fulfills his promises to his believing people, either immediately or ultimately. As we're wrapping up, I'm about to pray and close our time together, but I want you to think about your life for a moment. Think about the struggles you face. Think about the things that bring you fear. And I want you to imagine your life. What would it look like? What difference would it make if you had a little more faith and less fear? If you feared less and you had more faith. How more secure might you feel in your day-to-day life? And the anxiety and the struggles, if you trusted God just a little bit more. And because you trusted God more, the fear decreased. Maybe you'd struggle with specific sins that you struggle with less, or maybe you'd be able to be of assistance to the people around you a little bit more. And finally, if that continued in your life, what stories might you be able to tell someday about how good God is? If you trusted God more, and because you trusted him more, you were less afraid, what kind of stories would you be able to tell about how good our God is? Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for our time together this morning. I thank you for the example of Abraham. I thank you for this incredible display of faith for us in Hebrews chapter 11. And Lord, Abraham has so much to teach us on so many levels. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be people of faith, even when circumstances challenge that. Lord, fear so often makes us forgetful of what is real and what is true. Fear too often closes us off to the big plans that you have for our lives. And we want to be people who trust you more and people who obey in spite of not having the full picture. We aren't going to be able to get all the information we need to feel totally comfortable sometimes to trust you. But you're calling us to step out. You're calling us to live our lives in obedience to you. You're calling us to hold on to our convictions. You're calling us to live as pilgrims and strangers in a strange land, Lord, in this life where our true home is in the next life. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to live lives of faith. Lord, grow our faith. Give us more faith. Lord, for any in this room who have yet to receive you, have yet to begin a relationship with you, Lord, I pray that you would give them that faith that would say yes to you, that would receive this gift of salvation that you offer. And Lord, for all of us who are your children already, may we be people of faith, people of conviction, people who obey your call to at the very least follow you. And if there's some other call you have upon our life, Lord, to step out and to take those steps towards what you're calling us to do. Lord, we are grateful people. We thank you for these examples of faith and courage. And I pray that you would help us as we continue to look to the scripture for wisdom about how to be courageous people, or people whose lives are characterized by boldness and faith. Lord, let that be true of me. Let that be true of all of us in this room. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.